at Blazin' J's, Chico Paper Company, and online at kzfr.org. Tickets also available at the door. Beer from Sierra Nevada. It's Wednesday, October 16th at the Chico Women's Club. Front Country with Pat Hall.
And Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveohmfoods.com or on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to show 1940, the October 2nd, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. Today, October 2nd, is World Farmed Animals Day, which was created in honor of Mahatma Gandhi's birthday so that we may treat all living beings with respect. Yesterday, October 1st, was World Vegetarian Day, so congratulations to you vegetarians. Hopefully, you'll be celebrating World Vegan Day next month on November 1st. And of course, tomorrow, October 3rd, is Mean Girls Day, a widespread phenomenon in celebration of the 2004 Lindsay Lohan film Mean Girls. And on today's show, I'll be sharing animal rights and animal welfare news about pedigree animals born to suffer and why. Grazing lease secrecy through the BLM, and Britain considers banning trophy hunting. I'll end with, as always, with the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. The inventor of the Labradoodle, the ubiquitous designer dog, said that creating the mixed breed was one of his life's regrets. The creator, Wally Conran, said on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's podcast, Sum of All Parts, "I opened a Pandora's box and released a Frankenstein monster." Mr. Conran, who has been credited with sparking a crossbreeding frenzy resulting in Shih Poos, Puggles, and more, said the Labradoodle was originally intended as a guide dog, not a fashion accessory. Mr. Conran said, "I bred the Labradoodle for a blind lady whose husband was allergic to dog hair. Why people are breeding them today, I haven't got a clue." For some breeders and Instagrammers posting photos of their beloved doodles in little rain boots and sunglasses, Mr. Conran's comments rankled. But the line from his interview that perhaps hurt the most was this: "I find that the biggest majority of Labradoodles are either crazy or have a hereditary problem." The American Kennel Club does not recognize this breed, Labradoodle, and told the New York Times that it does not, quote, comment on breeds especially negatively. However, that's the reason why we always talk about the predictability of a purpose-bred dog. There is something to be said for having refined and done the research to develop a breed. We'll talk more about that refining and research develop a breed in our next article. In the podcast, Mr. Conran said that he created the breed in 1989 while working at the Royal Guide Dog Association of Australia. He had received a request from a blind woman in Hawaii whose husband was allergic to long-haired dogs. It should have been an easy problem to solve, he said, noting that poodles, which don't shed, were a good choice. But he struggled to find a suitable match, but eventually tried breeding a poodle and a Labrador. Of the litter of three Labradoodle puppies, only one was hypoallergic to the blind woman. The remaining two puppies were put up for adoption in Australia through the Guide Dog Organization's Public Relations Department, which promoted the pups as a special hypoallergenic guide dog breed. The breed was a surprise hit, much to Mr. Conran's regret. He realized that he had created a demand that unethical, ruthless breeders were more than happy to meet. He realized what he had done within a matter of days, but it was too late. Today, he said, the breed is often plagued by mental or physical problems. Celebrities like Christie Brinkley, Jennifer Aniston, Tiger Woods, and Neil Young are famous for having Labradoodles. Before being given a Portuguese water dog, President Barack Obama and his family had also considered a Labradoodle. Mr. Conran said that unscrupulous people setting up horrific puppy mills and backyard breeders who were breeding for bucks were to blame for producing a glut of unstable dogs who would eventually be euthanized. In an interview with Psychology Today in that same year, Mr. Conran acknowledged that the doodle was a gimmick that went global. People ask me, "Aren't you proud of yourself?" I tell them, "No, not in the slightest. I've done so much harm to pure breeding and made many charlatans quite rich," he said. "I wonder in my retirement whether we bred a designer dog or a disaster dog." And that was from a September 25th, 2019 article from the New York Times about the Labradoodle. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Okay, our next news piece is a follow-on to that. Mr. Conran, this person who first bred the Labradoodle, which is a now common so-called breed that we see a lot in animal shelters and humane societies, that man immediately regretted breeding that variety of dog. And the American Kennel Club, as we heard, replied by saying that's the problem with new so-called untested breeds, saying basically that their officially recognized breeds are far better, more healthy, and with more reliable temperaments. So I thought we'd take a look at the issues surrounding a couple of AKC, American Kennel Club, recognized breeds that are popular and that are suffering far worse than the Labradoodle because of that popularity. The popularity of brachycephalic dogs, which is flat-faced dog breeds such as pugs, French bulldogs, and bulldogs, is increasing internationally despite well-documented health and welfare problems associated with these breeds. A 2019 survey of over 2,000 owners of brachycephalic dogs showed that the most common owner-reported health disorders in their dogs were allergies, corneal ulcers, skin fold infections, and a condition called brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, BOAS. That's brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome. In that same survey, about 20% of owners reported that their dog had undergone at least one conformation-related surgery, which means a surgery related to problems because of their flat face, because of their short muzzles. And that survey also showed that about one in three owners reported that their dogs had problems with heat regulation and one in five with breathing problems. Yet, despite awareness of these health issues, 70% of owners considered their dog to be in very good health or the best health possible. So clearly, ownership of brachycephalic dog breeds is a complex phenomenon. It's characterized by extremely strong owner-dog relationships. And at the same time, unrealistic perceptions of good health set against high levels of disease in their young dogs. We're not even talking about old dogs. Errors in owner beliefs appear to exist between brachycephalic owner perspectives of their own dog's health versus the health of the rest of their breed, which may be fueled by cognitive dissonance processes. We see so much of cognitive dissonance relating to companion animals and our food animals. A 2019 article from the Guardian newspaper on veterinarians who perform remedial plastic surgery on pugs, bulldogs, and French bulldogs to literally relieve their suffering sheds more light on this same issue. The article begins, when pet trends fueled by social media combine with decades of unnatural selection, the result is a cycle of cruelty, unregulated trade, abandonment, and early death. As breathless breeds become more popular and the animals age, vets warn the cycle is about to get much worse. The problem for the big three brachycephalic breeds, which is the French bulldog, the bulldog, and the pug, is that they are too cute for their own good. Yes, they are, aren't they? Breeders have selected the animals with the biggest eyes and the funniest faces to meet demand among fickle owners. French bulldogs, known as Frenchies, have enjoyed, or rather endured, a startling spike in popularity, with their puppies selling for several thousand pounds. Remember, this is from The Guardian, which is a British paper. Their little faces, pointy ears, and clownish personalities dominate dog Instagram, where more than 20,000 posts bear the hashtag French Bulldog hashtag. Celebrity owners have included Madonna, Lady Gaga, and David Beckham. The UK Kennel Club, which records puppy registrations, counted almost 37,000 French Bulldogs in 2018, compared with only 1,000 10 years earlier. Pug and Bulldog numbers, meanwhile, roughly doubled in the same decade, up to about 10,000 each last year. Beyond the Kennel Club's books, the breed's true populations are likely to be several times higher, and that's because of unregistered backyard breeders. The dog's scrunched skulls and muzzles leave little room for breathing. A veterinarian explains that though the skeletal features have changed, the soft tissues haven't. The nostrils don't open up fully. The dog's soft palates at the back of their mouths fill up the oral cavity, literally making it hard for them to get a breath in. Owners tend to normalize this condition, though, saying that, oh, it's a French bulldog. It's normal for them to breathe like that because they often are very snuffly or snorty. And of course, if your kid sounded like that, sounded all snuffly and hard to catch a breath after a simple walk in the park, you'd take that kid into the doctor to get examined. But when we look at it in a dog like this, a cute little dog, we tend to just think it's cute instead of recognizing it for what it is, which is an inability to breathe. Dogs sleep normally with closed mouths, but some animals with brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, that Bowis syndrome, find ways to prop open their mouths to survive the night, using furniture or toys as wedges. If not, they can wake up repeatedly with startled snorts. Extreme sleep deprivation is common, leading to even less exercise than their airways allow anyway. This can result in obesity, which only worsens the condition, making sleep harder. Veterinarians report seeing dogs so tired that they nod off in consultations while still standing. Again, that can look cute, right? Oh, my dog's falling asleep. She's so sleepy. But in fact, this is a symptom of a dog that is chronically tired, not able to get a good night's sleep. Because it's so difficult for these dogs to breathe, they can suffer from oxygen starvation, leading to fainting and other problems. The constant fight to draw in air can also create a destructive negative pressure inside the animals. Over time, this weakens the harder structures such as the larynx, causing that structure to narrow or even collapse, which further obstructs the airway. This is a slow motion suffocation. That's what this condition is. If the dogs don't become obese, these Boas dogs can become starved of food as well as oxygen, because the fleshy throat obstructions can make eating and swallowing difficult, causing frequent regurgitation. The buildup of pressure, meanwhile, can pull at the digestive tract, drawing out fleshy folds, and even pulling up the stomach into the chest, causing reflux disease. Surgery can prevent this decline, particularly while the dogs are still young, but it isn't always successful or even sensible. Euthanasia due to this condition is thought to be rare. A British animal shelter, the British Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, says it has taken that decision to euthanize only twice. But they expect the problem to get worse as more French bulldogs in particular arrive. What's fashionable now becomes a vet bill in 2 years' time. Puppy farms in Britain and Eastern Europe are meeting demand. The worst among them are selecting for extreme features, worsening the deformities that cause BOAS, as well as conditions that affect the eyes and skin. Dogs Trust, Britain's largest dog welfare charity, quarantines and rehomes puppies seized at ports. Linda Goodman, the founder of Caryad, a campaign to end puppy farming, says social media are to blame for crucifying the breed, saying that people are still so set on having them that it kind of bypasses them that they are buying into cruelty. And this is, again, we see good intentions gone astray. The Kennel Club, which recently launched a BOAS assessment and grading system in partnership with Cambridge University, advises would-be owners still intent on getting a brachycephalic dog to use registered breeders or rescue homes. No buyer should get a puppy from a private seller without first observing the dog's home and parents and checking for breathing problems. Existing owners concerned about their dog's breathing should see a vet. And so that was an article from The Guardian in February of this year. And as always with our companion animals, I recommend and strongly encourage folks to adopt, don't shop. And so in that vein, check out our local pug rescue group. If a pug is what you have in mind, on October 6th, they'll be holding their annual Pug Sunday in Chico. It's going to be a Halloween costume. And they'll be there from 1 to 3 p.m. at Hooker Oak Park at 1928 Manzanita Avenue. And you can find them on Facebook at Pug Sunday in Chico. They're a delightful group. They sell a calendar and other things. And they're looking out for the pugs in our community. And so the next time a friend of yours says, hey, I'm thinking of getting a French bulldog or a bulldog or a pug, please open their eyes and say, hey, I heard about that on the radio. Did you know that a lot of times these dogs are practically suffocating and that can have a lot of complications in their health? I don't think that so many of these dogs should be bred, and I don't think so many people should be looking for them. There's probably a place for any kind of specialty animal that's well cared for, but I don't think that's such a animal that's so prone to a life of suffering should be bred in any kind of capacity. All right, let's get on to our favorite subsidy group, the Bureau of Land Management. We've talked about cattle grazing leases often on this show, often when we've been talking about the Devil's Garden Wild Horse Roundup up in Modoc County. Today, we're revisiting that issue of grazing leases with a recent news report from the Washington Post about a group suing for details about the environmental impact of a grazing lease program. The U.S. government is keeping details secret about a cattle grazing program in six western states that could be harming habitat and endangered species, says the environmental group Western Watersheds. In a lawsuit filed in late September in U.S. District Court, the environmental group Western Watersheds Project said the Interior Department is unlawfully withholding information from the public about a grazing initiative announced in 2017. The group is asking a federal judge to force the government to release information about the program that is running in Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado, specifically not in California, thank goodness. The environmental group said the program puts private ranchers in charge of grazing on public lands without regard for wildlife such as the struggling sage grouse and endangered salmon. What could go wrong, right? Ranchers in charge of their own, entirely in charge of their own grazing. The U.S. Justice Department, which defends agencies in lawsuits, did not immediately respond to an inquiry about the suit on Wednesday from the Associated Press. In announcing the program, then-Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke said it would provide grazing permit holders an unprecedented level of flexibility while also protecting public lands. The Interior Department plan involves lands administered by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. The plan cites outcome-based grazing authorizations, which the BLM said would, quote, emphasize conservation performance, ecological outcomes, and cooperative management of public lands that will also provide greater opportunity for an operator to manage ranching operations that are both economically and environmentally sustainable. Western Watersheds Project filed a Freedom of Information Act request to find out how the plan was working. But the group said in its lawsuit that the Bureau of Land Management didn't make a final determination about the request, and the Interior Department never made a decision about the group's appeal seeking the information. The lack of response and missed deadlines are violations of the Freedom of Information Act and the basis of the lawsuit. The BLM manages livestock grazing, mostly cattle and sheep, on 240,000 square miles of public lands, mainly in the U.S. West. That involves about 18,000 permits and leases on more than 21,000 grazing allotments, several that we've talked about in the North State. The 10-year permits and leases can be renewed if the agency determines conditions on the permit or lease are being met. Those conditions include such things as the health of the rangeland. The outcome-based grazing authorizations, the Bureau of Land Management said on its website, is an effort to allow livestock grazers to better respond to such things as drought and wildfire. And the Western Watersheds Project contends that the plan increases livestock grazing with little regard for environmental consequences. And that was an article titled Group Zoos for U.S. for Details About the Impact of BLM Grazing Programs that was published in the Washington Post at the end of September. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. Listener-supported community radio hosted by your truly, Jeannie Trezino. Our last story is some good news on hunting. Though the British government is in the middle of a stay-or-go Brexit crisis, it recently started considering some of the toughest trophy hunting laws in the world. The government announced in late September that hunters will no longer be able to bring back endangered animal parts from Africa as part of wide-ranging legislation that will also stop the import of exotic furs and rugs. The move could see the lives of thousands of elephants, lions, rhinos, and other endangered species saved. There is said to have been support for this policy from the Prime Minister's office, and Prime Minister Boris Johnson's partner, Kerry Simons, has been campaigning against the issue for some time. Mr. Goldsmith, who was the secretary appointed by Boris Johnson, was seen by those who oppose trophy hunting as significant. As Mr. Goldsmith is an animal rights campaigner who was actually put in charge of the issue. Ms. Simons, the Boris Johnson's first lady, said in her first speech to the public as first lady earlier this year, a trophy is meant to be a prize, something you're awarded if you've achieved something of merit that requires great skill and talent. Trophy hunting is not that. It is the opposite of that. It is cruel. It is sick. It is cowardly. And I will never, ever understand the motivation to do it. After a consultation, the ban is expected to pass through Parliament either as primary or secondary legislation. The British Minister for International Wildlife, Zach Goldsmith, has been campaigning against trophy hunting for years and was credited by The Telegraph's reporting on the issue with pressuring the government to implement a ban. While some countries, including France, Australia, and the Netherlands, have banned the imports of specific animals, such as lions, this ban will affect dozens of endangered animals. The animals on the CITES Appendix 1 and 2 list, as well as animals on the IUCN Red List, will no longer be legal to import. Unlike the ivory ban, where it is banned to sell the product in the UK, this just concerns imports and exports, so it will still be legal to sell rare animal skins within the UK. Secretary Goldsmith told the press that, quote, by placing a higher value on animals alive rather than dead, we will begin to turn back the tide of extinction. Michael Gove, the previous environment minister, was notably cautious in his language on the issue, and animal rights campaigners doubted he would enforce such a ban. This announcement is part of a wide-ranging list of policies announced by the Environmental Department to kick off the Conservative Party conference this weekend in Britain. Ministers also announced that they will consult on introducing compulsory microchipping for pet cats to subject them to the same safety measures that currently apply to dogs. That was news from Britain from an article titled Britain Will Have Toughest Trophy Hunting Rules in the World as Government Announces Ban of Morally Indefensible Act, published in the Guardian newspaper at the end of September. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino. And now it's time for the Chico Vegan Animal Rights Calendar of Events. We have quite a few events going on. Starting this weekend, October 5th, the Butte Environmental Council will be hosting a mural event with muralist Wyatt Hersey on October 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. in their new offices located at 313 Walnut Street. The event will be an afternoon of connection with art, music, and local vegan food by near and dear vegan baked goods. For more information, go to the Butte Environmental Council website at becknet.org or call them at 530-891-6424. Coming up also on October 9th, the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals will be hosting Dr. Will Tuttle, author of the best-selling book, The World Peace Diet, on Wednesday, October 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Library at 1108 Sherman Avenue. The talk will focus on the hidden dimensions of our food system and how to build a radiant health, awaken awareness, and bring healing to our world. Vegan refreshments will be served at 6 p.m. with the program beginning at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please see the Facebook event on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Coming up next week, Saturday, October 12th, Blackbird Bookstore and Cafe is celebrating its two-year-old birthday and hosting an all-ages birthday party featuring live music by Scout, Teeny Nymph, Jonathan Richman, the October Coalition, and Truck Stop, and featuring vegan baked goods from Near and Dear Vegan Baked Goods. Pedal Press will be there showing the power of the print. Come celebrate 2 years at Blackbird. For more information, call 530-433-1577. And finally, also on October 12th is Community Day at Animal Place. Join Animal Place Farmed Animal Sanctuary for a guided tour where you can meet and hear the stories of the incredible rescued farmed animals who call Animal Place home. You're invited to the first annual free Community Day at Animal Place. Vegan lunch will be provided. For more information and to register, please go to animalplace.org. And Animal Place is located in Grass Valley, so a short drive away. All right. That is it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, please feel free to send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. As always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. We didn't get to share this with you last week, so today I'm going to share with you an excerpt from The World Peace Diet by Will Tuttle, our speaker coming into Chico this Wednesday, October 9th. Will Tuttle wrote, "We owe the animals our profoundest apologies. Defenseless and unable to retaliate, they have suffered immense agonies under our domination that most of us have never witnessed or acknowledged. Now, knowing better, we can act better. In acting better, we can live better and give the animals, our children, and ourselves a true reason for hope and celebration." That was an excerpt from The World Peace Diet by Will Tuttle. As I mentioned, Will Tuttle was our guest on last week's show. Thank you very much. And he will be speaking next week on Wednesday, October 9th at the Chico Public Library from 6 to 8 p.m. Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook and on Instagram at Chico Vegan. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, bred, grazed, or otherwise abused. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for The Real Issue with guest host Stephen Chudy coming up next. Have a great week and thanks for listening. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off. And remember, be different, be better, be kind, and go vegan.